Amen. Lord, we just praise you. We glorify you, Lord, because you're worthy of our praises. We thank you for it, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the work that you're doing in us. You're keeping us on that straight and that narrow, Father. We ask, Father, that you lead us tonight into the things that you would have us to talk about, to pray about, all the things that you want us to do, Lord. We praise you and we glorify you for all the work you're going to do in us tonight. Lord, we thank you that you do have us an open heaven. And when we pray, we know that our prayers are answered. And I thank you, Father, for your Son who died on the cross, made a way for us to have access to you, Lord. And I praise you for that. That is an awesome, awesome privilege that you've given us. We thank you for it. We thank you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit resides in us, that your Son's Spirit resides in us. And we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that your whole life and everything that we need in this life has been given to us to walk just like your Son did. And I thank you for it, Father, because you've made us sons and daughters also. And I thank you for it, Father. And Lord, I thank you for this great, wonderful revival that's coming. We pray, Lord, that it will be soon. Prepare our hearts, Lord, to meet this demand that's coming up with the revival, that we would make disciples of all of these wonderful people coming into the kingdom. And coming into the truth of the gospel. And Lord, we thank you for the anointing of the man child. And I praise you, Father, for all the work that you're going to do in him and the bride to bring about this wonderful, wonderful revival that you've talked about in your word. And we thank you, Lord, that we thank you for your Holy Spirit. And his leading, Lord, that he guides us wherever and whenever you want us to go. And you make a way for us, Lord. Supernaturally, most of the time. We thank you, Lord, that we don't have to worry about what the economy is. We don't have to worry about who's in charge in the governments, because we know who's in charge in everything. And that's you. We praise you, Lord. We glorify you that we don't put our trust in man. We put our trust in you. We care less about who wins the political arena, because we know that, Lord, whoever it is, you are our protector, our provider. Everything that we need comes from you, Lord. And you've told us through the angels that we don't worry about anything because they are there to help us. And Lord, you told us that the angels are there for us to send out and to do your work. And I think, and you've told us, or the angels have told us that they want us to send them out so that they could have something to do. You showed me way back 11 years ago that the angels were standing around, didn't have anything to do. And all we had to do was send them and get them to work. And the way we do that is through our prayers. And I thank you for it, Father. And I thank you, Lord, for bringing down any kind of enemy against UBM Fellowship in the name of Jesus. And I praise you, Father, for your protection around about each and every one of us. We command faction out of it. And anybody that has come against UBM, Lord, we ask and we pray, Father, that you shut them down. In Jesus' name. And we cast down all witchcraft curses spoken against your people in UBM and across the world in the name of Jesus. And I thank you for your missionaries over in the Middle East and Africa, Lord, that your angels are working there and your Holy Spirit is working there too, Lord. And I praise you and I glorify you, Father, for multiplying the supplies that they need. For the orphans, for the missionaries, for the evangelists, for all of the things that they need, Lord. We ask and we pray that you put bold faith in the leadership over there. To pray and to believe, and we praise you for it, Father. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord, that tonight's going to be a special night. I believe it, I feel it, and I thank you for it, Father. In the name that's above all names. We praise you. We glorify you for this great encouragement with the Holy Spirit. Well, thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. All right. Anybody got any prayer requests? Hey, Raymond. How about a testimony? I love them testimonies. Glory to God. I do. Hey, Tracy, go ahead.
Yes, sir. How's it going?
It's going great. It is going absolutely fantastic.
Yes, praise the Lord. So there's a certain pastor that I talked to in charge of a ministry, and his wife was sick. And it, here in the States, in Illinois, but his wife was really sick. Now, she's got MS, but she was rushed to the hospital. And she had to do emergency surgery. Well, it's a friend that, you know, every once in a while will say, hey, you got any prayer requests? You know, just go back and forth. And he sent me a text saying that, you know, he'll get to something soon. He was in the hospital all day. And I said, hospital? I said, what's wrong? He's like, oh, it's my wife. So I simply, after he said that, I had the Lord say kidneys. And I thought, oh. Now, I really don't know anything about his wife, you know, besides, you know, her health stuff. I don't know anything. But I heard the Lord say kidneys. So I just sent him a text and I, you know, prayed, obviously. And I sent him a text. I said, be healed in Jesus' name. I said, brother, I stand with you. And I heard the Lord say kidneys. I said, kidneys, be healed in Jesus' name. And he said, thank you so much. I stand with you, too. And I agree. Well, she was rushed to another hospital for emergency surgery. She got to that hospital. They did x-ray and test. And guess what? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's our guy. He's awesome.
Thanks, God. Thank you, Lord.
Surgery. Yeah, there was no surgery needed. They said it was very odd the way all their, you know, they're not going to give the Lord glory. That's okay, though. They said it's very odd the way all these tests, you know, came back and, you know, this and that, but the Lord healed her and I had no idea. And that brother sent me a text telling me what happened. He said, oh, and by the way, the tests that were coming back, the problem was her kidneys in all areas. I was like, man, see, isn't that awesome? He is so awesome. I had no idea. I wasn't.
Thank you, Father. Glory. Yeah. Hallelujah.
Amen. She is healed. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father. You gave that pastor something to think about, man.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. Praise you, Lord. You're an awesome God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Tracy, for sharing that with us. Amen. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Isaac. How you doing, brother?
Hey, everybody. Good to see y'all. Yeah.
Hey, man.
Yeah, I got a test. Hey, let me turn that camera so she can see too. So I got a little testimony. Y'all know how I took this job and, you know, I kind of feel, overwhelmed with like the technology of it. And, you know, it's just a lot of things I'm not used to. And, you know, it's pretty humbling. And, so, you know, I feel like every day I'm fighting. Every day I'm fighting to hang on. Well, is this for me? Is this what I really want? And this is going to sound terrible, but when it comes to like, as far as like in the world is, you know, learning new trades in the world and it gets exhausting. Like you get tired of it, man. Like I like to learn and I like to succeed too. You know, I want to do good. And when I'm involved in something, I want to do my best job. But man, sometimes it's just, I feel like a wet sponge, right? And, so I'm fighting every day. Next day, I'm going to, you know, I wake up, I'm ready to go get it again. Next day, ready to go get it again. That's kind of how I do. That's kind of how I think. And, you know, I take the victories I can get. Anyways, so like I'm building up the story just cause I'm day by day trying to take in as much as I can, hang in there. Well, my, like the boss of all engineering came and talked to me and my supervisor the other day. And I was placed in this one starter assembly line where they just make starters for cars. And he goes, guys, the production's way up this last month and something. Way more than it's been in a long time because they do parts per hours. It's not like parts per minute. So parts per hours, you know, you think about it, that's not an incredible a lot of volume that's going out the door. I've seen places, I've worked in food industry where we put out 1,250 cans a minute, you know. So I've seen volume like that. So when you're not putting out a lot of volume and anything you do lose, that's pretty crucial on the company as far as profit. And so, you know, it just really, but to say this, when he said that, it really blessed me. And I tell you, because in your weakness, God's made strong. That's what I'm trying to say. Because there's not a lot at this stage right now where I can really affect too many things. And I know that every day the struggle that I'm in there. I'm thankful to be there. Don't get me wrong. I'm very thankful. I really like it. But the struggle to learn, I know that the Lord has been telling me, and I just feel it, man. You're blessed. If I get these thoughts in my head, well, can you do this? Or, man, you really have to buckle down. I just cast them down because there's no point thinking about it. It doesn't help. And I always just feel the Holy Spirit say, you're blessed. You're blessed. And I just keep on hearing it, man. And it doesn't matter what happens, just you're blessed. Even if there's a problem and right now I feel like all problems kind of beyond me, you're blessed, right? And that's what I keep getting. And it's just amazing how the Lord did that because he's just taking control. There's nothing I can do to incorporate. I can't make the numbers better. I can't even get them up on a certain amount of downtime. I mean, even small little problems right now could really put me I could really spin my wheels. And I'm not saying this like, I'm not always, the Lord's going to get me through this and he's getting me every day by day by day. And I'm not worried about the end result, not even the tiniest bit. But it's just awesome to see how I can't add much and God can just change the numbers. Because the thing was, their numbers when they hired me were way down. And they told me that in my interview. They said, we're kind of at a stage right now where our numbers are about as low as they've ever been. We've been in this perpetual state where we can't get out of it. And man, they just went up. But I know it's not me. It's just the good Lord. And it's because I'm blessed. That's the one thing I hear. And I just want to thank the Lord for that because it's humbling and it's also awesome. And, you know, Mike, we've talked about this. You've seen this in your career. A lot of you guys have. There is no better troubleshooter than the good Lord. And there never will be. He's an amazing troubleshooter. Thank you, guys.
Amen. He sure is. He's the greatest troubleshooter of all. I mean, look what he did with me. Thank you, Father, Lord of God. Okay, Ben, go ahead, brother.
Is it on?
Yeah, it's on.
Oh, okay, that was a great testimony, Isaac. It makes me kind of wonder if to be reminded that we're blessed, that we should pray for these things, for other people who go to their workplaces, for people who are at home, to remember that they're blessed, whatever they're doing at home. If, you know, there's beds to be made, laundry to be done, food to be made, when you meet up with family members, the right words to be spoken. There's quite a bit there that we could be blessed about. So I was just wondering if someone has a prayer for us that to lead us in prayer in this, because I'm just thinking about that, and we should all be blessed that way. We should all be concerned about those things. So, Father God, I just come before you, and you're the one who blesses us. You're the one who tells us, Father, that we have authority over the tree of life. In your word, it's there. I read it. And it's wonderful, Lord, that we have authority over this tree of life, that we could be blessed. Blessed, as someone once said, beyond our wildest dreams. And I just thank you for that, Lord, that you would bless the women here to be good house women and good workers on whatever they do, for those who are even perhaps still employed. And I pray, Lord, that the children would also be blessed, Lord, of work. We have children that should be blessed, and they should be industrious in the things that they do, and they'll be guided by you and blessed by you, Lord, in everything, even if they're the way they play with their toys and stuff. And what we ask, Lord, also that you would bless all the other workplaces, and because we are your children, Lord, and sometimes, you know, we go to work every day and we think we're not really successful or doing what we're supposed to be doing. But Lord, if the blessings come out, let them come out of the boss's mouths, just like it was with Isaac, Lord, that the production's gone up, that the job's being done and everything's being done well. In Jesus' name I pray. Thank you, Father.
Amen, Lord. We hook our faith up with Andrea. Bless everybody here, and we bless you most of all, Lord. We thank you, Father, that we do. We bless everyone's, just like Andrew said, we hook our faith up. We know it's being done, even as we speak right now. In Jesus' name, Lord, we ask that you lift up any down spirits right now in Jesus' name. We praise you, Father, for joy that you've placed in us also. And that when we walk out in the mornings, we got a smile on our face and a skip in our walk as we go about, because we are a lamp sitting up on the table where everybody can see us. And we praise you, Father, that you put that in us. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Andrew. All right, Claire.
Thank you for that. What a blessing. And we are indeed blessed. So I would ask all of you to stand in faith with me for myself and my daughters. Not you, hey? You're fine. Daniel's fine. We have headaches, and it's really sore, and we shouldn't be having headaches. Like, we never get them, and the Lord has protected us from them, and we are so blessed. So I just command this headache off of us in the name of Jesus. I proclaim that our heads only have the helmet of salvation on, and that we are filled with the mind of Christ, and that we will speak scriptures of life to ourselves, and we will continue to rebuke this thing, because it is gone in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Everybody, put your hand toward the pinyards, because they fix to get blessed also. In the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you. We hook our faith up with Claire and the girls. And we thank you, Father, that the headache is gone. And from this point on, they are going to have a lovely day. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. And let your Holy Spirit be evident in there, in that household. And we praise you, Father, for joy, peace, and rest in that household, in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, headache is gone. Thank you. Glory to God. Glory to God. Everybody said amen. All right, girls. Y'all are healed. Thank you, Lord. Ooh, my. All right. Anyone else? What is that?
Can I say something?
Oh, that's there? Joe. That's Joe. Okay. What's going on, brother?
I did have a stumbling yesterday morning, and I confessed it to the Lord and to Nora, and we pray about it. And then after that, what's so amazing is the Lord gave me two victories. But I thought for a long time over enemies I'm struggling with. So I can say, with Isaac says, I'm very blessed. Thank you, Father.
Amen.
I was struggling a long time. Yeah. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for that. Amen.
Amen. All right. Anyone else? I'm blessed too. I am so blessed. I get to come up here and talk to y'all on 2-3 times a week, sometimes more than that for some of you. I just love it. All right, Geneva.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Can you all hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. I got my headphones in. So, anyways, I just, you know, we're all talking about how blessed we are. And now I'm super blessed, to be able to stay at home. And I just want to thank the Lord. I mean, it's only Thursday and, gosh, just the peace, you know, that I feel just not having to worry about work and my phone blowing up and even check my email and my boss calling me and the nurses calling me and just being able to read my word and little Micah, like even our relationship feels different, you know, which I was doing the best I could before, but now it's just like, I don't know. I mean, I know that she can sense more peace in me, and she's crawling and trying to stand up and making her way to sit in my lap. And it's just so precious, you know, like I'm just so thankful. And I've been trying to keep the kitchen clean and make good meals when Morgan gets home and just show him how thankful I am. So trying to be a good housewife. But, you know, I mean, wow, there is no better job, you know, I could be doing than to be a godly wife to my husband and to take care of my baby girl. So just praise the Lord. Just so thankful that, you know, my heart's desire finally is here. So thank you, Father.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for doing that for Geneva and Micah and Morgan. We praise you, Father, that this is one happy family in you, and we thank you, Lord. Lord of God. Thank you, Lord. All right, anyone else? I feel like somebody in here needs prayer. I feel oppression. Somebody in here got oppression. Okay, let's pray. In the name of Jesus, these are God's people. The Son went to the cross for them. You don't have a right to come against them. And in the name of Jesus, I command oppression to go right now. Every one of you that are attacking this people, go in the name that's above all names, the name of Jesus. And that means now. And I command you to cease your attacks upon them in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit that's now filtering out all of the stuff in Jesus' name. And I praise you, Father, that they are completely free of this. And I thank you, Father, for your joy back into their hearts and the lightness of the Holy Spirit upon them in Jesus' mighty name. Oh, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Thank you, Father, for doing that for all of your people here in Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody receive that? Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Yes, Lord. Woo, my. Thank you, Jesus. That's the power of God going through this whole place. My Jesus. Amen. Yeah, Missy.
Well, I didn't really have my hand up, but I was thinking
okay.
About it.
All right.
No, but.
All right, go ahead.
I was thinking about it. So,
all right, go ahead.
Amen. I just wanted to, the Lord's been really encouraging me with my husband. He's been taught this Jesus only oneness, and the Lord's really been, he's impressed me. I've probably had way more visions than what I realized, because I get, it's such a flash. I think it's just something in my mind. But last week one day, I think early in the week, I was just praying for my husband and thinking about, you know, the fact that he didn't have a father that was very attentive, and he didn't spend much time with him. He was the youngest of 9 kids, I believe it was. And anyway, and so then I know he has issues. Now I'm believing he's delivered from all this. I don't mean to speak anything on him, but I'm just kind of giving you a picture of what the Lord's showing me. So issues with rejection and But anyway, the Lord was like, kind of gave me this like flash, like vision of me just like speaking to him and, like telling him who he is in Christ, you know, just like you're a mighty man of God or whatever. But there was just this huge, like this huge, the Lord put this like enormous love and compassion in my heart. And I knew it was from the Father, but I could feel it. You know what I mean? So I've really been praying about that, you know, and, so like I've noticed here 2 or 3 times that when, and I've noticed this before, but it's like more here lately. Because they don't like pray to the Father. It never tells you, as we all know, to pray to Jesus. We're to pray to the Father. How should we pray? The disciples asked him. Our Father, you know. Anyway, so like when he goes to say grace at the dinner table, he'll say Father, you know. He said that 2-3 times here, like in a row, you know. And so I'm just like really encouraged with that. I just wanted to share that with you all, and just to kind of give you a picture and all. And I thank you, Lord, that Merle is delivered and he's come out from among them, and all these doctrines of demons are gone from him. And I thank you, Lord, for the mighty work that you are doing and have done in him, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. So,
amen. Amen. You know what I'd do, Missy? Would he do a Bible study with you?
With me?
Yeah. I would suggest this, and this is just me. This is what came through my mind just a minute ago, is to do a Bible study with him in the New Testament to find out who he is in Christ. He is a new creation, brand new creation. And then go into those scriptures. It talks about what it means as a new creation and who is inside of him, what is inside of him as a new creation.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll open his mind up. And yours too, I guarantee you.
Yeah. Well, I know, like the Bible study that you had last Wednesday about the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Jesus. He heard like the most important part about that, you know, and which I think is a help towards this Jesus only oneness baloney. And I've really been thinking about that a lot lately in all the different areas. baloney. Anyway, and I've really just been thinking about it, you know, and you know, looking at different verses now and then about how it, you know, talks about the Father. And anyway, the Lord, and I had shared this with Isaac back in March, you know, the Lord gave me one time when Merle and I were talking about this, you know, and I don't remember exactly how it was I said it to him. And the way it came out when I told Isaac about it, he was like, yeah, that was really cool. And it was just a revelation that the Lord had given me a way of saying it to him. Like I was saying to him, you know, you and Alex, you know, you're the Father and he's the Son, and he came out of you. And, you know, I forget how I said this to him, but I said, you don't become one in that you're the same person. You're still your own separate people, you know, you're the own separate person. I forget how I said it to him, but he just like looked at me like this light bulb moment or something or whatever. But anyway, so that was a long time ago. I said that to him, but I know the Lord's working in him, and I know he's seeing some things, and, you know, he'll ask me something now and then, like, he asked me last night, did David share anything? I forget how he said it, important or whatever, or significant or whatever. And I said, well, on the Bible study. And I said, nothing real significant, you know, or whatever, but.
You're recorded. You know that, don't you?
What's that? I'm recorded.
He's out. He's out.
I said, you know, he was just like, you know, I think what he was asking about was like things that are going on around this and everything. And I keep telling him, you know, that, you know, the kingdoms of the world are man's kingdoms, you know, and they're not, it's not God's kingdom. And yeah, God uses it and he's always in control and all. And, you know, just little things that he said here lately to me, I know the wheels are turning. He's thinking about it, you know, and stuff like that. So thank you, Lord.
We're to bring the kingdom of heaven down here on earth. That's our job.
Right.
We're to be Jesus here on earth.
Right.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Yeah, he's getting it. He's getting it. He's listening. That's great. Praise God. We thank you, Lord, for bringing Merle right along. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. All right. Who's next? Everybody have a good night last night. Go ahead, Dirk.
Hi, Michael. I just have a, hi, everyone. Short testimony of the Lord's provision. We have a gas stove, and there was some time ago that in town here there was a lot of theft of gas bottles, and one of ours was stolen, so we only had one left. And at that time, I blessed the bottle. I laid my hands on it and I commanded it that it will just last. And it's been going now for almost a year now. It's going on 11 months now. It's just going on. And, the other day, I think it was about 2 months ago, I just picked it up. It's light as a feather. Paula asked me, should we change it? I said, no, it's just going on. And that's for 2 months now. So yeah, we short of a year, and it's just going strong. It's daily use, and it's just amazing how the Lord is providing. Yeah,
amen. It's going to be in. You're going to be able to use that when Jesus comes back.
Yes, definitely.
Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Awesome. Not only that, provisions are on the way. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Awesome. All right. Anybody else? I'm going to just share one verse here. Maybe talk just a little bit. Is that okay? All right. 1 Corinthians 2:16. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. When you have the mind of Christ, you have access to every knowledge, wisdom, revelation that Christ has. And he said, when you need it, all you got to do is ask for it. God is so good. He has provided everything we need to show people God on this earth. We're ambassadors of Christ. And we walk like Christ. Remember what David tells us? Every week it seems like. Look in the mirror and see Jesus. And when you go out, believe that he's with you. He's in you. He is you. I don't get puffed up. I'm talking about the works that you do. He gives us everything we need. He gives us the power of the Holy Spirit. He gives us the wisdom of Jesus. And God himself. God the Father. All we have to do is ask for it and believe and have the faith to believe it. Even if he even gives us the faith to believe that all of this is true, we've got the most powerful tool in our being in this temple here of all the universe. Matter of fact, the universe was spoke into existence by this humble power. And that's all we need is him. More of him, more of him, more of him. And that's why he wants us to renew our mind, to have that mind of Christ. You have to renew your mind to get that mind of Christ. Praise God. Just want to kind of throw that out there. We got everything we need, folks. It's what we do with it. Okay, does anybody know where we are? Word, women, and authority. I think I do. Okay. I think we're on page 39.
We still in first chapter?
Page 39. I don't know what chapter. I think
Okay. All right. Because I was reading the book here. I'm in chapter 4. So, just wondering.
Yeah, there's two paragraphs on page 39. I think we're starting where it says some people say that.
Yep, yep. I'm trying to look here, Barbara. See what chapter it is. I think it is chapter maybe 2.
Yeah, it's chapter 1. We're almost to the end of that. We've got like 2 pages and a half, and then we'll be in chapter 2.
Okay. Okay, I got it marked here. I highlighted it where I am. So, some people say that women can be elders in the church because the word mentions elder women, as in this text. 1 Timothy 5:1 says, "Rebuke not an elder." This is the Greek male singular noun, presbyteros, thank you. But exhort him as a father, the younger men as brethren, and the elder women. This is the Greek feminine plural noun, presbyteros. That's presbyteros, presbyteros. As mothers, the younger as sisters in all purity. Although, as with the English word for elder, the Greek word for elder is used for both the physically older and the spiritually older. And we can clearly see that God is speaking here of the physically older because the opposite is also mentioned. the younger men and the younger sisters. We've seen that the spiritual elders were ordained in the early church as fivefold ministers. And since a woman is not permitted to teach or take authority over the man or be an overseer, we know that this verse cannot be used in that way. Both Peter and John, who were apostles, called themselves elders. 1 Peter 5 and 1, 1 John 1, 3. 1 John 1, excuse me. And then 3 John 1. Vine's expository dictionary of New Testament words says of this verse, the feminine of the adjective is used of elder women in the churches. 1 Timothy 5 and 2, not in respect of position, but in seniority of age. And Strong says the New Testament specifies elders as men. The feminine singular, presbytera, never occurs in the Bible. The feminine plural, presbyteros, occurs in 1 Timothy 5, 2. It refers to aged women. In other words, not women with an official church office or title. Now let's look at yet one more place where people try to make a scripture mean what they want it to mean. Romans 16 and 7. Salute Andronicus and Janias, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners who are of note among the apostles, who also have been in Christ before me. In another effort to prove that women can be church elders, there are those who will destroy every other verse on the subject by saying that Janias was a woman apostle. Donovan's Pictorial Encyclopedia of the Bible says, whether the name here is masculine or feminine is uncertain. So Strong says, as contracted from Janias, E.F. Weiner's Grammar, 102F97, well, we know that God's word does not contradict itself, folks. If this verse is saying that Janias or Janiah, as it sometimes translated, is an apostle, then Janias must be a man by every other text on the subject. And if Janias is a woman, then the verse is not saying she is an apostle, but it's just being noted by them. This is the only way that this verse fits with every other verse. Those women who are older in the Lord are called to teach the younger women about things concerning the home, children, and maintaining a right relationship to their husband. Nowhere are they called to teach doctrine. Titus chapter 2 and verse 1 says, But speak thou, Paul is still addressing Titus here, speak thou the things which befit the sound doctrine, that aged women likewise be reverent in demeanor, not slanderers, nor enslaved to much wine, teachers of that which is good, that they may train the young women to love their husbands. Christ, who is our husband, tells us that the only way we can love him is to keep his commandments. And so it is with the woman and her husband. John 14, 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Titus 2 and 4, that they may train the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sober-minded, chaste, workers at home, kind, being in subjection to their own husbands. And notice the chain of command and delegated authority, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Under the husband, the woman has authority over the household and the children. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandments with promise. Deuteronomy 5 and 16. And 1 Timothy 5 and 14 says this, I desire therefore that the younger widows bear children, rule the household. We have no occasion to adversary for reviling. In God's ideal society, the women should be workers at home, not competing with men as the breadwinners, unless, of course, they are the only breadwinners. If the world would obey this, there would be many more jobs for men and far fewer homes that had no breadwinner at all. And this would distribute the wealth more evenly and lead to fewer people on welfare. And you may say, well, David, there's not anything like that out there in both churches and homes today. I agree with you, but I can tell you that the people who claim God as their Savior and Lord are going to be like it was in the scriptures, because God is going to restore all things. Joel 2:23. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he gives you the former rain in just measure, and he causes to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. It's going to happen twice, with the former rain and with the latter rain. God is going to pour out his Holy Spirit in order to restore all things. And the true people of God are going to love to serve him in agreement with the word. Praise God forevermore. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I was going over what the angels had told us about the revival this afternoon. And what he said, and I've said this to you before, but I'll kind of reiterate it. What they told us is the wonderful things that God's going to do, because it's going to be such a short time to have this revival to get the people into the kingdom, that he's going to do things like Jesus did, only greater. And it's going to be like people will go out, and the people who need healing, all of them will be healed. You won't have to go out there and lay hands on just each person. You go out there and be healed in the name of Jesus. All of them will be healed. There'll be hordes of people be healed at one time, brought into the kingdom and discipled by the bride. It's going to be that way. People are going to come from miles and miles around when they start hearing about the healings and the signs and the wonders. You know what the signs and the wonders are, don't you? The signs and the wonders are the healings, the deliverances, the love of God that they're going to see. That's what the signs and wonders are. That's what it tells us in the scriptures. Glory to God, it's going to be awesome. Okay. Let's see if we can get somebody. Who wants to start this off with chapter 2? Come on, y'all. Go ahead, Andretta. Oh, Missy, I didn't see you over there. I'm sorry.
Go on, Missy.
Missy. I'm sorry. Andretta can go right after you.
Okay. The Unchanging Word of God, Part 2. God uses honorable and dishonorable vessels. Back about 40 years ago, when I was young in the Lord, there was a woman who taught very well in our denomination, and a lot of people really respected and enjoyed her teaching. I really respected and enjoyed her teaching too, but at the same time, I was diligently reading the Bible, and I was confused. There were all these verses about how women were not to teach or to take authority, and I was wondering, what's wrong here, Lord? This doesn't seem to agree with your word. And the Lord answered me. He told me that he would use anyone who puts themselves in a position of authority, whether for good or whether for bad, whether the vessel is right or whether the vessel is wrong. Romans 9:21. Or hath not the potter a right over the clay from the same lump to make one part a vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor?
Hold it right there. Hold it. Just a minute. I want to say something about what you just read right there. When the Lord told him, he said it doesn't agree with the word. He told me that he would use anyone. I'll tell you what happened to a friend of mine. He was healing the sick, raising the dead even, and delivering people and doing all kinds of mighty good works. And he came to the Lord one day. He said, Lord, I see that you're even using me, and I'm still in sin, and these people are getting healed. He said, how come that? He said, they come to you in faith, believing that you're going to with your faith, they're going to be healed. I'll deal with you later. I'm going to heal them, but I'm going to deal with you later. That put the fear of God in him. Because God will use a donkey to get, you know, to get what he wants across. Go ahead, Missy. I just had to lay that out to you.
Well, that makes me think of where it says, Lord, Lord, did we not do this in your name, that in your name, and blah, 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 blah. Depart from me, never knew you, workers of iniquity. Yeah, so it's the fruit that counts, not the works. So anyway.
What's the fruit? What's the fruit?
Fruit of the Spirit, fruit of Jesus in you.
Okay.
Folks, all vessels belong to the Lord, and God can use people like he used a donkey in the Old Testament, Numbers 22, 21 to 28. We once prayed for a man in a mental institution to be saved. The next day, the two mentally deranged people came up to him and were suddenly in their right mind. One said, "Take this Bible and read it." The other one brought him about 20 scriptures to read and told him she didn't know why she was to give him this message. As soon as they did this, they both went right back to being crazy and hugging the wall or cringing in the corner. This story always cracks me up. Okay. That man we prayed for was saved. He went to thank them for their kindness, but they didn't know what he was talking about. The man said he didn't own a Bible. The lady said she had never spoken to him. There was no sign that they were even believers. Excerpt below is his testimony with my comments in italics. It's from the Real Good News. I had two people, both vessels of dishonor, approach me in the hospital. The first was my roommate. He would talk to himself, babble utter nonsense all day. But he turned to me and said very clearly, "Take this Bible and read it." Here's a guy, this is David's quote, comment. Here's a guy he never heard say anything coherent or intelligible the whole time I'd known him. And suddenly he said this very clearly, "Take this Bible and read it." Awesome. You know, God can speak to you through a donkey if he wants to, but nothing can stop God from bringing to pass what you can believe him for. Nothing in the world. It doesn't matter where you are. Terry was where he was to minister. Terry was where he was, no minister of the gospel to preach to him.
No sense. Terry was where there was no minister.
Terry was where there was no minister of the gospel to preach to him. His family wasn't there. There was nothing but the same kind of people like that all around him, but that didn't stop God. Within minutes, he returned to his old self. The same day, an elderly lady who had, in many ways, the same problems as my roommate, came up to me and gave me about 20 scriptures to read. She told me she didn't know why she was giving me this message. The next day, I wanted to thank my two messengers. David says, Terry had a real experience that night studying the scriptures. The Lord moved on his heart mightily, and that particular night, and he wanted to go thank these messengers that the Lord had sent him. Terry says, but they didn't even know what I was talking about. My roommate said he didn't own a Bible, and the lady said she had never seen, had never even talked to me. Well, this amazed me. David said, I can imagine it would have amazed anyone. Terry goes on. Soon, I was released from the hospital and I went to go live with my sister, but I was still on the medication. I attended the Unleavened Bread Ministries Bible study and the Lord did something wonderful for me. He laid it on my heart to repent and to confess my sins. Your group laid hands on me and prayed for my deliverance from the medication and evil spirits that had consumed my body, my heart, and my soul. The next day, I took a leap of faith and stopped taking my medicine all at once. David says, the doctors had told Terry that if he had ever did this, it would kill him. They had pretty well convinced him. This brother knew more about medicine than any layman I've run across. He could tell you the name of it, tell you what it did, just everything, you know. He really studied up on this stuff. Terry said, look, several of these medicines that I took, if you get off them cold turkey and you don't have the power of God on you, you're just going to die. David said, that's what the doctors told him too. But I thank the Lord for that healing every day. David said, the Lord gave him a total and complete deliverance. Without the Lord's intervention, I would not be alive today. Since then, I devoted my life to try to understand God's word with the ability the Lord gives me, and I'm very thankful.
Amen. Man, that's a great testimony, isn't it? A guy in a crazy house. Mm-hmm. Two crazy people walk up to him that God just made him right for just a few minutes to bring this man into the kingdom. Glory to God. Okay, Missy, go ahead. Go ahead, Missy.
And Renny, you can go now if you want.
Okay, cool. So you see, just because God uses people does not mean that they're in his will, nor does it mean that they even will be saved if they're in personal disobedience. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. Yes, there are many people who call him Lord, but if they're not obeying in their own life, then he's not their Lord. Verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy by thy name, and by thy name cast out demons, and by thy name do many mighty works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. These people were doing all kinds of mighty works by the hand of the Lord. And yet the Lord said, I never knew you. What does that mean? What it is to know. What it is to know. I dug into this one time and I discovered it was talking about when Adam knew Eve. Genesis 4:1. And the man knew, in brackets, this is the Hebrew yada, meaning to have intimate knowledge of, close brackets, Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man with the help of God. It is a personal relationship between a man and a woman. When God sows his seed in us, that's when he knows us. In the parable of the weeds, Matthew 13:24-30 and 36-43. The Greek word, therefore, seed, is actually sperma. And in the parable of the sower, Matthew 13:3-8, verse 18-23, and Mark 4:1-9, verse 13-20, and Luke 8:4-15. The seed is the word of God. Luke 1:34. And Mary said unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know, in brackets, this is the Greek ginosko, corresponding to the Hebrew yada, close brackets, not a man. When God knows us, it's because we're receiving in fertile ground his word. That means we're humbly submitting to his word. God can use you mightily, but that doesn't mean that you're saved. We can preach, teach, cast out demons, and prophesy. But if we're not sent by God and just doing our own egotistical will, we're building our house on sand. Matthew 7:26-27. Even the great apostle said, 1 Corinthians 9:27, but I buffet my body and bring it into bondage. In brackets, he kept his body in submission. Lest by any means, after that I have preached to others, I myself should be rejected. In brackets, that's the Greek word adokimos, and it means reprobate, counterfeit, failing to pass the test, not approved. God's people need help, and God will use whomever they submit to. But that does not mean those ministers are personally submitted to God. There are many churches today with women pastors and women preachers and women in all kinds of positions, including positions where they're taking authority over men. These women are disobeying God's word. Then rebellion, and they need to repent. I'm not denying that some of those women may be very good at what they're doing, even though it's unscriptural. They may lay hands on the sick, and the sick may recover. They may preach to the lost, and the lost get saved. All that has nothing whatever to do with whether or not those women are going to enter the kingdom. Matthew chapter 7, verse 26. And everyone that heareth these words of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. Verse 27. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and smote upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall thereof. Notice in the text, the Lord is saying, you have to build your own house. The warning is in the word. You may ask, David, wouldn't God speak to these women to warn them against exercising authority over men? My answer is that all you have to do is read the New Testament one time, and you'll find we've been warned over and over many times. For instance, in the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, the rich man in Hades wanted Father Abraham to send the beggar Lazarus, who was in Abraham's bosom, to warn his family. Luke chapter 16, verse 29. But Abraham saith, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. In other words, the rich man's family already have the word with all these commands, and they're responsible to obey them. Verse 30. And he, in brackets, this is the rich man speaking, said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one go to them from the dead, they will repent. Verse 31. And he, this is Abraham answering in brackets, said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded if one rise from the dead. How true. Jesus rose from the dead, and yet even that's not enough for some people to repent. Folks, we still have his truth in the written word today, and we're still responsible to that word. Those who hear God's word and go on to willfully rebel will have judgment. Their house will fall. Hebrew chapter 10, verse 26. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more a sacrifice for sins, 27, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and the fierceness of fire, which shall devour the adversaries. These women taking authority need to stop shrugging off God's warnings and repent while there is time, while God is being merciful. God is not going to change his mind to agree with the whims of society, and people who disagree with the word of God will find they're going to receive less and less grace. I am not saying everybody who is ignorant of these verses or ignorant of their true application for our day will be lost, but they certainly may not be as great in the kingdom as they were thought to be on earth. Matthew chapter 5, verse 19. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so. Here, in brackets, men is the Greek anthropos, which is the generic term for mankind, the human race, people including women and men. I have seen this happen with women who are taking a position of authority and teaching men, while they justify themselves with all manner of feeble excuses. But then, all the excuses I've ever had are paper thin. For example, I've actually been told, well, I'm doing this in obedience to my husband. That's plain ridiculous, and it's nothing but a lie too, because we just saw what our spiritual husband said about this. I've also had more than one woman say to me, well, there's no man to do the job. But that doesn't matter either. I always tell them, nope, you're breaking the word. Matthew chapter 5, verse 19. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. Oh, they might be famous in the world, but remember what Jesus said. John chapter 15, verse 18. If the world hateth you, ye know that it hath hated me before it hated you. All you have to do is agree with this word, which is so contrary to the people of this world, and they will hate you. So when you find religious leaders who are acceptable to the masses of the world, know that there's something wrong there. Matthew, or shall I continue?
Let's hold on and see if anybody's got any questions or any comments. Anybody got any questions or comments about what she's just read? I remember, this is probably 15 or 20 years ago, I heard or I read about a famous woman preacher that the Lord had told her to give it all up and that he would bless her mightily if she gave it all away. And she didn't do it. So I hope she repents before it's too late, but we'll see. All right. Anybody got it? Yeah, Judy.
The scriptures about, you know, and where it says, Lord, Lord, didn't we do all these mighty works in your name? And you know, those verses where the Lord says, I never knew you. I mean, that should put fear in people's heart, the fear of God, to really, really seek God just to, you know, am I in your will? You know, first of all, and if I'm not, will you show me where I'm not? You know, because last thing you want to be is one of those people think you're saved and you've been doing what you thought was, you know, the work of the Lord and ministry, whatever that may be. And then comes to that time where you're standing before the Lord and say, depart from me. I never knew you. You know, nobody wants to hear that. I've meditated on that before, and some of the teachings that I've listened to, and even where the Lord showed me I was in error about things, you know, it did really, you know, put a fear and reverence to the word, you know, for the word, you know, about being obedient and wanting God's will above my own. And, you know, cause we can all be deceived about things and, thinking we're doing what the Lord wants us to do. And He may have used me many times. May have used me many times to help somebody where I was in error, and God used that, but that doesn't mean I was right. Anyhow, just thank you, Lord, for your mercy and grace, and showing us where we're not in your will, and allowing us to repent. Amen.
Amen. The Lord, what is he looking for in each one of us? Yeah, Andrew.
Well, I think, you know, love conquers all. And, you know, it does say, I think in 1 John 4:19, we love because he first loved us, and we need to obey him. We need to make sure that he will tell us if we're doing anything wrong. You know, he has to, just like I was saying, the man, chapter 3 of Philippians, he's going to warn you. It says there that he's going to warn you if there's anything that you're doing that's wrong. So you have to depend upon him for all things. I just think it's love, because love never fails. All the love chapter in there. The greatest of these things is love. Faith, hope, and love. But the greatest is love. And that's coming into agreement with him and obeying him.
Mm-hmm. He says, if you love me, you'll obey my commandments. Yeah. That's the love he's looking for. He's looking for fruit of Jesus in your life, in our lives.
That's what it's saying. Yeah. 1 John 5:3. Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. Go ahead, Thea or Lana.
Hey, Michael, I'm sorry. You were breaking up a little bit earlier, and I think that was on our end. Can you repeat again? that example of the woman who refused to follow a command, or what was it that you were sharing?
Oh, well, this is about 15 or 20 years ago. Can you hear me okay now?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's more like about 20 years ago, a famous woman preacher was told by God, if she gave it all up, he would bless her mightily. And she was already making millions of dollars. But he wanted her to just throw it all, give it all up. He said, you give it away, whatever, all your money, everything that you've got, and I will bless you, more than you've got now. And she couldn't do it. That's all I know about it. So what happens is this, is a lot of people think because they're doing what they think is what God wants, rather than what the Word of God says, that they're going to be okay. And we're looking here, we're seeing now that that's not what God wants. God wants obedience to His Word. And that's the fruit He's looking for. And He wants us to, like Andrew's talking about, that love is obeying the commandments. I said agape love. And if we do that, we're okay. But when you go out there and you're just going to bull ahead and do what you want to do rather than what the scriptures say. And the Word is very clear. We've already read the scriptures in there about women preachers and teaching and that kind of thing. And that they're going to get the Word. There's been some great women in the past that have been in some ministries. Catherine Kuhlman comes to mind. Her main thing was healing the sick. And I don't know if she ever got into teaching or anything. I think she did a little bit. But then another one came to mind was Mariah Woodworth Etter. John Lake talked about her a lot. He called her Mother Etter. Had a great healing ministry. Kind of strange in some of the ways she did. To teach and to preach and to evangelize, you use the offices, is not allowed. Healing is. Deliverance is. You know, that kind of stuff is. Yeah. Okay. Anyone else want to read? Yeah, Amy Rutter.
I just wanted to share something. I don't know how to put up the hand with what I'm using today, but the last time I went for the women's fellowship, I really didn't want to go. And I was really struggling, and Andrew was saying, have you prayed about it? And I said, no, because I might be told to go, But I was told, we did pray about it together, and I was told to go. And I said, but Lord, there's this 9 women, and all they do really is just attack me. And I have to be so careful and guarded. And I'm like, oh, a little leaven's the whole lump. And, it's just, and he said, you're going for 2. And I had a very specific message. It was for the ones that wanted to hear the voice of God, to pray with them. The ones that wanted to hear the voice of God. That was it. Yeah. And I thought, oh, that's a lovely message. That's a loving message. That's nothing to do with, oh, I don't agree with that. I got so attacked. It was, oh gosh. And anyhow, there was 3 people that wanted, and I could see there was 2 who were like, so yeah, it was, and anyway, we prayed with them, and one, these 2 ladies just got on my back, and them 2 are the ones who were like, stop, we want to hear what, she's saying. And all I did was the Bible verses about, those who hear my voice, my sheep hear my voice. This is the true shepherd. And that, just Bible verses. But then at some point, you keep getting attacked. And I'm looking and I'm saying, I'm not allowed to teach, And then there was that push. Oh, no, there's nothing wrong with you preaching. You can tell them, blah, blah, blah. This is what the word says, though. If you're not doing this, this is what we're allowed to do, so that the word of God is not blasphemed. I mean, that's a big thing, you know, to blaspheme the word of God. That should strike fear. I'm like, oh, stop being silly. But anyway, at the end of it all, when I got home, I felt slimed. I felt like I'd been, I don't know, through something really gross. And I was asking, you know, did I cross the line? Did I try to defend? I don't think I did, but I was, you know, do I have self-righteousness? And I was just, it was awful. It felt like absolute oppression for days after. And I was asking, Lord, do I have self-righteousness? You know, I'm repenting for pride. Because I don't think, you know, I don't think I'm better than anyone or whatever. But it was just, it was very strange. And I know I had to repent for the fear of man, fear of rejection. But I'm thinking, if I don't understand, I suppose in some ways, if you love God and you're seeking God, and there's a way to find him that's not tickling to the ears, you know, it's not superficial, and it doesn't make sense to me why you wouldn't then seek it. You know what I mean? Go, oh, okay, am I doing the wrong thing? Or, you know, go back and think about, I don't understand that. I think for like 2 days, I was just, it doesn't make sense to me, you know? Because for so long, I was looking in everywhere, you know, and there was no one to sort of point me in the right direction. And I think, I don't know. But yeah, it was so that the word of God is not blasphemed. If it doesn't strike fear in your heart, at the very least, you should go, you know, I think, and that's judgmental, isn't it? Like, I love God so much, I don't want him to be disappointed in me, and I don't want to do anything that could be crossing the line. So I need to find out, am I even making sense? But yes, I felt awful. I just felt absolutely awful. And they were going, oh, we're going to have a night vigil of prayer, and you have to come. I say, I'm not going to leave my husband and children for a whole evening and a whole night. That doesn't make sense to me. Oh, you have to come. You have to come. We need a prophet. So I am not I never said I was a prophet. I'm not, you know, it was just vile. It felt vile. And now I'm dreading going back. But I have a good excuse for the next 3 weeks. I've got soccer with my boy. But I did wonder, and I'm sorry I'm taking over the reading, but is it self-righteousness? Do I have self-righteousness?
Self-righteousness, did you say?
Yeah, is it pride?
I don't think so. I don't know. I don't, does anybody else see it in there? I don't see it. Do you experience it?
I don't think so, but I do want to know if it's there, if I'm blind to it. Because the word, it exposes the darkness, doesn't it? The light exposes the darkness.
Yeah. Yeah. The light does expose the darkness. Yeah.
And like Julie was saying, you don't want to ever think about ever hearing those words, get away from me, I don't know you.
Do you think you have self-righteousness?
No.
Okay. But
if I am blind to it, I'd be happy to be humbled. I'd be happy for someone to just point it out. And
if we see it, we'll tell you. How's that?
Thank you.
Sounds good. Amen. No, listen, if you don't experience it yourself, then it's not a sin. You're not in sin. You know. If the Lord hadn't showed you, that's what you have. Don't worry about it. I don't see it. If that's what you're asking, I don't see self-righteousness. Go ahead, Julie. Maybe Julie does. I don't know.
I used to. By the grace of God, I don't have self-righteousness anymore. I was just thinking that, you know, you say you felt slimed and all that stuff, but when you defend what's true, when you defend the word of God, you know, he's our Lord and Master. And I see it as defending our Lord and Master. And I don't know where that scripture is, but there's a scripture in there about, you know, standing up for defending your master or something like that. There's a reward for that. But you're standing up for what is true. But you were under persecution because they were trying to get you to you know, persuade you that, you know, what you're doing, you know, yeah, you can teach, you can preach and all. And you're saying, no, we're not going to do that. But yeah, I feel like you were just suffering, you know, going through persecution, and that's what it's like. You know, when you defend what's true and you defend what's right and not giving in to their manipulation, or, you know, when you know it's wrong to do that, you're not going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't see it as self-righteousness for wanting to do what's right. You know?
That's true. As long as you defend yourself with the word.
And you know you're supposed to be there for somebody, then you're supposed to be there for somebody until, you know, you pray about it, obviously. And it's like, Lord, you have me here for as long as you want me to be here. And then when it's time for me to go out for persecution, right? You know, however long you're supposed to be there to help somebody, praise God.
Amen.
That's kind of how I see what you're dealing with.
I hope I don't have to go back.
Well, you know, if you don't want to go back, don't go back. You know, that's why you feel, because it doesn't sound like they're scriptural. But let's see what Pat says.
I'm sharing what you're saying, what you're feeling, Loretta. And I was thinking about, we were talking, we started this meeting off with some people speaking about being blessed. And of course, if you go to Matthew 5, it's interesting, you know, that the Lord says, blessed are they that have been persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And I had that exact thought today as I was driving to work, that persecution, I don't think it ever feels good. And it never, I never, it's really a pain. But I was thinking about it, because we're not under the authority of it. We've been removed from the authority of that, of the devil that wants, and he wants to use that persecution and that opposition to tear us down, to turn us back, to turn us away, to send us away. And that's, quite frankly, it's a natural, normal response to not want to go through that. You know, I think I've had enough. I bore my cross, and, you know, thank you, Lord, but I've had enough. But it doesn't seem to affect the Lord that way. He has a reason for it. And I've heard a lot of explanations or descriptions of it, that, you know, you hear the mighty oak that withstands the torrential, you know, opposition and wind against it and all that sort of thing. The winds don't blow it down, and they go through hurricanes, and the trees are still standing there simply because they've been through the process. They've been up against the opposition, and they have, even though they have been beat up through the process, they're still standing. They're still standing on that word and holding on to that truth. holding on to the Lord. And for some reason, and I have to admit, I haven't quite got the handle on this, but Jesus calls that blessed. And I've always heard the word blessed means happy. But I have never been happy going through that type of struggle, you know. I've always been happy when it's over. but God says we're blessed when we go through it. And so I have to believe that, number one, I believe that we are blessed to go through it. I just saw the different aspect of it is that we are not under that authority. And it is definitely a sign that the devil is pulling out all the stops. He's trying to knock us out of the box. And it's not going to work because we're not in that kingdom. We are untouchable, even though the persecution and opposition comes. Blessed are ye when men shall reproach you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Again, there's blessed again. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in the heavens. For so persecuted they the prophets before you. So the Lord is doing something within each and every one of us, and he's given us his Holy Spirit to as that necessary comforter and strengthen us and to give us grace to hold upon him through this process. And I feel your pain, I guess you might say. But anyway, praise the Lord. We're blessed.
Well, I'll tell you what, you remember the story about David when he was in that oneness church? He was in the Pentecostal church, and he came with the knowledge of the tribulation, or the time of the rapture. And he gave that out, and the whole church came against him. He was under bad, even his best friend, you know, the best friend, if you remember, was praying in the floor, got in the floor and was prostrate and was telling the Lord, Lord, save Dave, help him, Lord. He's in error here, you know. And the Lord levitated him, brought him up off the floor, off the ground, levitated him up. And told him, he said, I'm teaching him the truth. And said, he is getting the truth from me. You listen to him.
Wow.
Back down on the floor, he went. So the Lord changed him. But this next paragraph will tell you a little something about what happens when you get the truth. And you around people that you know are not the truth, what happens? And that's in Matthew 5:19. It said, whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. He says, oh, they might be famous in the world, but remember what Jesus said, John 15:18. If the world hates you, you know that it hath hated me before it hated you. All you have to do is agree with this word, which is so contrary to the people of this world, and they will hate you. So when you find religious leaders who are acceptable to the masses of the world, know that there's something wrong there. So I can tell you this, when you come into the truth, you will be persecuted by your friends. You will be persecuted by your family. You will, if you hold to the truth, you'll be persecuted by the people that are around you. But know this, that God loves you and you will be blessed beyond your wildest dreams if you continue on with the truth of the gospel in your life. He said, in this time, I will bless you. Restore everything. Yeah, Andrew.
You know, in the book of John, when they came for Jesus, they all fell backwards. And that's what I thought of when you mentioned that about David there and lifting up this guy there, telling him, I'm teaching him the right thing there. Like, these types of manifestations do happen, you know, and for a reason. Because Jesus was the truth there. The ones who came for him, they had a duty to do for all of us, but they were in the wrong and they fell back. They didn't fall prostrate before Jesus. You know, so
what you think pushed them back?
The very same one who levitated.
Amen. Amen. A big angel sitting there. The Holy Spirit. I hope that helps you, Amrita. Okay, who wants to? Okay, great. Great. Claire, did you have something you wanted to share?
Hi, just needed the music to end. They're having a little session. I just want to pray for you, Anretta. That's okay. Thank you, Lord, for giving my sweet sister such a revelation of Christ in her, the hope of glory. Thank you for drawing her out, Lord. Your word says, come out from them, my people, and be ye made separate. But Father, we know how precious our inner man is. And we know that it sometimes seems insurmountable for the inner man to even contend with the flesh that we've been born into. But Father, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And I just pray for a spirit of humility and patience and endurance for my sister and actually for Andre and the children as well, that you would bind their hearts up, Lord, and you would let them seek first the kingdom of God and your righteousness, and then all these other things will be added unto them. Thank you for giving her the scriptures. Thank you for giving her the knowledge. Thank you for opening the eyes of her understanding. Thank you for that, Lord. And thank you for building up her spirit, man. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for doing that for Amrita. In Jesus' name. All right. All right, who wants to? I guess I'm going to have to pick somebody. That's just what I'm going to do. I'm going to pick one somebody. Isaac says he would like to. Yeah, I saw your hand raise up.
Yeah,
I'm
trying to get away real quick. All right. Matthew 5:19. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. What we're going to see in the kingdom of heaven, folks, is how reversed everything there is from the kingdom of this world. In this world, those people who are considered spiritual and great are nothing like the people they think that they're going to be in the kingdom. And they are going to be surprised at the humbleness and submissiveness of those people who are truly great in God. People who are not great on this earth, not liked on this earth, persecuted on this earth, those are the people who are going to be called great in the kingdom. God's word does not contradict itself. Now it does appear that both Priscilla and Aquila were instructing Apollos concerning the way. And people will regularly point this out to me to try and change my mind about women being allowed to teach men. So let's look at that. Acts 18:24. Now a certain Jew named Apollos, an Alexandrian by race, an eloquent man, came to Ephesus, and he was mighty in the scriptures. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spake and taught accurately the things concerning Jesus, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. But when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more accurately. Back under the Old Testament law, ignorance was not an excuse. Leviticus 4, 2, and 13, 27, 5 and 15, etc. Leviticus 5, 17. And if anyone sin and do any of the things which the Lord hath commanded not to be done, though he knew it not, yet is he guilty and shall bear his iniquity. Over in the New Testament, which is our covenant, ignorance is an excuse. Luke 12:48. But he that knew not and did things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. And to whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much be required. And to whom they commit much, of him will they ask the more. So notice that it only says they expounded unto him more accurately, not perfectly. Even the apostle Paul was receiving words of knowledge and wisdom concerning correct doctrine during these days and afterward when he was writing his epistles. We have the benefit of all this to study and restudy, but most of his contemporaries did not. The scriptures teach that the responsibility of sin is not imputed until after one receives the knowledge of the truth. For example, James 4:17. To him therefore that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Also, Romans 4:15. For law worketh wrath, but where there is no law, neither is there transgression. Romans 5:13. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Romans 7:8. But sin, finding occasion, wrought in me through the commandment of all manner of coveting. For apart from the law, sin is dead. And we have Hebrews 10:26. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment. Jesus said to the Pharisees, John 15:22, if I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. We really shouldn't condemn individuals for disobeying the command. I permit not a woman to teach, nor to have dominion over a man, but to be in quietness, until we have explained from scripture that their actions are wrong. However, this clear command and all the others cannot be overthrown by any testimony of what Priscilla did. The scriptures testify of both good and evil things that people did, but the commands must be obeyed. Well, we haven't run out of arguments yet, folks. Even after all these other verses that we've looked at, which define the role of women, some people say that this next verse, which was given through Paul to the Galatians, cancels out every one of them. Galatians 3:28. There can neither be Jew nor Greek. There can neither be bond nor free. There can be no male and female, for ye are all one man in Christ Jesus. What they don't understand is that this text is not talking about the differences of the ministrations or the differences of the sexes and so on. It's pointing out that there is no division in the body of Christ. We are not separate. We are one in Christ Jesus because we, Colossians 3:10, have put on a new man that is being renewed unto the knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there cannot be Greek and Jew, circumcision and uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bondman, freeman, but Christ is all and in all. Paul isn't telling us that a man and a woman are not distinct one from another. A man and his wife are one, but they are certainly not the same, just as the Jews are not Greeks and the bonds are not free. People who have a lust to rule will go to great extents to twist and pervert scriptures. But this text clearly does not mean that the woman need not obey the man, any more than it means that the children need not obey the woman. Ephesians 6 and 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment of promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. Nor does it mean that bondservants need not obey their masters. Colossians 3:22. Servants, obey in all things them that are your masters, according to the flesh, not with eye service as man pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing the Lord. The same man wrote all of these verses, folks. How can he mean one thing over in Ephesians and Colossians and a different thing in Galatians? It would be making both Paul and God schizophrenic to use that verse that way. But people still try to use one verse to annul all these verses in the Bible that have to do with the woman submitting to authority and the woman not teaching or taking authority over the man. How can they do that when it makes no sense? It's because people with a lust to rule will do whatever they need to do to have a position of authority. They think nothing of perverting and twisting the word. Paul, by the Lord, wrote those other verses too. Do you think the Lord was schizophrenic? Do you think Paul was schizophrenic? The Lord, through Paul, made it plain that even though they are one, there is a difference between a man and a woman. 1 Corinthians 11:3. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. There are many who would destroy this distinction, many who would destroy society, bringing us under the curse. But God is not going to change his mind. 1 Corinthians 11:9. For neither was a man created for a woman, but the woman for the man. You may have noticed that when giving the reasons as to why this is no longer true, people like to say that it was only for that day. Oh, and all that passed away with the apostles. But it's still true that the woman was made for the man. The woman is still for the man today. So this is still in effect. God's not budging from this verse. One scripture cannot annul another because scripture does not contradict itself. Any place we think we have found a contradiction, what we've really found is that there is something we don't yet understand. But those who want to live after the flesh will pick and choose verses which allow them to live after the flesh. That men and women are one in Christ does not mean we are the one in the flesh. The flesh is not in Christ. Rather, the scripture says, Romans 8:16, for the mind of the flesh is death, but the mind of the spirit is life and peace, because the mind of the flesh is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. And they that are in the flesh cannot please God. In order for us to be one in Christ, we must obey the commandments put upon our bodies. Commandments put upon our bodies, whether man or woman. Luke 9:23. And he said unto all, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. If we do not submit to these commandments, we do not abide in Christ. 1 John 3:6. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither knoweth him. If we do not obey the commandments, then we are not taking up our cross of death to self or flesh. If we do not obey, then we will not lose our old lives. So the spirit man who is in Christ can be victorious and bear fruit in our life. If we choose to walk after the flesh instead, we must die. Romans 8:12. So then, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit ye put to death the deeds of the body, ye shall live. I'm only asking you to believe the word so you don't get deceived by what this perverted society wants you to think.
Amen. Anybody got any questions or comments? Yeah, Patrick.
Those few pages there really brought home. I had a person was a teacher that I used to listen to a lot, and he had a statement which kind of stuck with me, and that was, a man's morality dictates his theology, or what, and obviously these verses really strike home related to that, and that depending on what, you know, a person wants to believe, they will believe what they want to believe based upon what they have accepted and committed, shall we say, in their life. And obviously for people that would struggle over this particular situation, it's like every other sin, shall we say, that, you know, that this teaching is not accepted because it automatically means that I have to quit doing something. You know, there's something that I am not willing to quit doing, and therefore I have to hold on to this scripture. And this is kind of what, you know, what it brought out to me as I'm listening to this. And it was just that thought, that a person's theology is dictated by their morality. So anyway, that was all I had to say.
Amen. Okay. Who's next? Julie? You want to read?
I'll read. I can read. Okay. Scriptural examples of the Jezebel spirit.
Uh-oh.
You know, folks, as I was working on this study, I wrote, not one elder in our new covenant was a woman. None of the 12 apostles, Luke 6:13, or the 70 others that Jesus appointed, Luke 10:1, or those elders who followed after them were women. And immediately the Lord spoke to me. He said, except Jezebel. She was mentioned to be an elder in the church, but that was one I had not thought of. So I was thankful to the Lord for that correction. And we have two Jezebels in the Bible, which are two witnesses of what Jezebel actually represents. In the New Testament, Jezebel illegally exercised authority in the church, Revelation 2:20. But I have this against thee, that thou suffereth. This is the Greek aphiami. No, I didn't read that right. Femini, meaning allow, permit, tolerate. So, but I have this against thee, that thou suffereth the women Jezebel, who called herself. Notice she took this office for herself. She calls herself a prophetess. A prophetess who is sent by the Lord is never going to lead people astray. But this is not a prophetess from the Lord. Neither can a minister who is sent by the Lord go out and lead people back under the law. Jesus was very particular with his ministry. He made sure that the apostles taught the truth before he sent them out, as in Peter's vision of the sheep with the unclean animals, Acts 10:11-16, which gave him the revelation, Acts 10:28, unto me hath God showed that I should not call any man common or unclean. And it's the same today, folks. Maybe Bible colleges will send out ministers who are lacking the truth and full of error, but the Lord's not doing that. Man is doing that. In Revelation 2:20, but I have this against thee, that thou suffereth the woman Jezebel, who calleth herself a prophetess, and she teaches. We've seen that's forbidden. She teaches and seduces my servants to commit fornication. That's to receive the seed or word of the world as fornication for a Christian.
She seduces my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed to idols. It is idolatry to obey a harlot religious system rather than the word on this matter. If you respect men more than the word of God, if you respect some pet doctrine or religion more than you respect the word of God, then you have an idol. You should be repenting and changing your mind to agree with the word. Revelation 2:21. And I gave her, this is Jezebel, time that she should repent. Same is true today, folks. God is giving us time to repent. If God doesn't judge you immediately, that should not say to you that you're okay. Be quick to change your mind when you read the word. And she willeth not to repent of her fornication. Again, spiritually speaking, fornication would be if we received a seed, not of our husband, who is Christ. You tell me, oh, but this is the way to do it today, David. And because, and besides, women have been teaching in our church for years. Nonsense. That's the seed of the world. You're departing from the word because that's not God's seed. That's not the eternal truth of the word. Revelation 2:22. Behold, I cast her, she's still speaking of Jezebel, I cast her into a bed and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation. That's a type and shadow for the last 7 years, those 7 years of the tribulation, Matthew 24:21. For then shall be great tribulation, such as not been from the beginning of the world until now, no, nor ever shall be. See also Ezekiel 5:9, Daniel 12:1, Joel 2:2. Matthew 24:29, etc. Revelation 2:22. Behold, I cast her into a bed and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they those in the church who listen to her, those who submit to a woman in the church who are going into great tribulation if they don't repent quickly. A woman cannot be a teacher or a prophet or an elder or so on. It doesn't matter how correct she might appear to be in her teaching or how good she might appear to be in some other role. Any woman who takes a position in the church that gives her authority over a man has a Jezebel spirit. That's what the Bible says. Revelation 2:23. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he that searches the reins and hearts, and I will give unto each one of you according to your works. Notice, God is going to judge the people of God according to what they do, not according to what they say, not according to their faith or anything else, but according to what they do. It's not an accident that this rebellious woman, elder, is threatening, along with those who submitted to her, with great tribulation. In the Old Testament, there's another, maybe I'll stop here and see if anyone wants to say anything, since we're going to go to the Old Testament, Jezebel.
Has anybody got any questions about Jezebel?
New Testament, Jezebel.
Hmm?
New Testament Jezebel. Now we're going to go to Old Testament Jezebel. Okay. In the Old Testament, there's another Jezebel that gives the exact same type and shadow of a woman taking authority over a man. Only this time it's in the home. Ahab and his entire house was destroyed because he followed his wife, Jezebel. The Lord said to him through Elijah in 1 Kings 21:21, behold, I will bring evil upon thee and will utterly sweep thee away and will cut off from Ahab every man child. What should have been his spiritual fruit was rejected. And him that is shut up and him that is left at large in Israel. And I will make thy house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha, the son of Ahijah, for the provocation wherewith that thou hast provoked me to anger and thou hast made Israel to sin. 1 Kings 21:23. And of Jezebel also spake the Lord, saying, the dogs, we're going to see this again in a minute. The dogs here represent corporate beast body. The dogs shall eat Jezebel by the rampart of Jezreel. This is repeated in Revelation, and we're going to see that below too, where the corporate beast ate the corporate harlot. Him that dieth of Ahab in the city, the dog shall eat, and him that dieth in the field represents the world in Matthew 13:38, shall the birds represent unclean spirits, Revelation 18:2, shall the birds of the heavens eat. But there was none like unto Ahab, who did sell himself to do that which is evil in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel, his wife, stirred up. There it is again, the man obeying the wife. When Adam obeyed Eve in Genesis 3:6, it brought a curse upon the whole world, Genesis 3:17-19. And it's still that way today, folks. Now there is yet another type and shadow hidden in Jezebel, and that's the harlot who destroyed the beast in Revelation 17:3. And he carried me away in the spirit to a wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting upon a scarlet colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And the woman who was arrayed in purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of abominations, even the unclean things of her fornication. And upon her forehead, a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with a great wonder. In perfect parallel, the corporate body of the beast, which is typed by the dogs in the Old Testament, devours the corporate harlot, Revelation 17:16. And the 10 horns which thou sawest, and the beast, and these shall hate the harlot, and they shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and shall burn her utterly with fire. The birds devour the corporate scarlet-colored beast, and she wrote in Revelation 18:2. Notice that both Jezebels were women.
Go ahead. Keep
Sorry, going. Do you want me to start? Okay. Notice that both Jezebels were women who illegally took authority over men, but we have been warned many times by scriptures that this is forbidden. There are women with Jezebel spirits out there today who rule their husbands, who rule the church. They may even appear to be humble in the eyes of men, not being humble to the word, because they have no foundation in the scriptures to do what they're doing. It is forbidden, folks. You may say, well, God has blessed them. And I agree that in some cases he has blessed them, but it's because they haven't been faced with this knowledge. Let me point out to you what Jesus said about the Pharisees. Remember, we saw that up to a point, ignorance is an excuse in John 15:22. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no excuse for their sins. You see, once he faced them with the word of God, they were responsible, and the same thing is going to happen in our day. The man-child ministry is going to face the people of God with the true word of God. Yes, God has been merciful up to this time, but we're coming to the last 7 days when the man-child's ministry begins. The latter rain is going to be manifested first to the corporate man-child body, and then in the middle of the tribulation, it will be manifested in the disciples, just as it was in Jesus' day. The truth is going to be shared, and we're all going to be without excuse. We're all going to be responsible because we've been warned. Yet I can tell you that many are eager to twist and pervert the scriptures. They don't realize that it could cost them their life. Revelation 18:4. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come forth, my people, out of her, that you have no fellowship with her and her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues.
Okay, yeah, let's stop right there. All right, is there any questions or any comments that you'd like to make about Jezebel? Boy, that was some good teaching then, because there's no questions. Glory to God.
I would just say that if you know anyone, like we see them on the internet a lot, we see them places, we recognize them in people that we know or whatever, we've been in churches where they are, is, you know, God's mercy, pray God's mercy, and they see where they're in error and they repent. You know, it's
amen.
It's a big deal.
Lord. And possibly, and I believe, possibly when the shaking starts, it's going to be some come out of him, you know, and repeat it. Yeah. They're going to hear the word because the man child is going to be given the word, the truth, and they're going to know it. And something else that I might add quickly is that the churches that put up with this are the ones that are going to come against the true gospel. All of these false religions out there will come against the true gospel in a terrible way. Yeah, Andrew.
Yeah, the last page, chapter 22 of Revelation. Unrighteous will be unrighteous still. It goes on. Unholy will be unholy still. So they grow in their apostasy. I think that's the way you're supposed to grow in love and grow in faith and in the grace of God and in the glory of God and walk in the Spirit, grow in the Spirit of God, is the way they grow in the opposite direction. And that's what I get from that. And Pat had his hand up too there.
Amen. Go ahead, Pat. Did you have something?
I was just going to say, in reference to what you said about that, you know, this is going to be the most opposition from those people that promote that philosophy, so to speak. And it speaks back to what Anretta was talking about. And that is because of that attack that is going to come, we are going to have to be solid in the word and standing on that word and realize that the opposition is going to come, but it's going to come for a reason, because the Lord wants to break through. The thing that I, one thing that he was showing me related to that scripture is that, Jezebel's spirit, you know, we a lot of times we kind of connect that, you know, with a woman or, you know, and say, well, that's a Jezebel, but it is a spirit. And mm-hmm. even that woman that who may be plagued by that spirit, even that woman has the ability to repent. That Jezebel spirit won't. That the scripture says that, you know, that Jezebel willeth not to repent, will not repent. So, you know, and so we have to trust that binding that spirit, that God will set those people that are under captive of that spirit and set them free. So that was kind of all I wanted to say.
Amen. Well, we're out of time. Lord, we thank you for this fine teaching. And Lord, we thank you that a lot of people out there are going to get some revelations about the word women and authority, and that it's going to be a blessing, and it's going to set some women and men too free. And we praise you, Father, because we believe that. We believe, Lord, that the word of God sets people free. This is the word of God, and we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Bless all the folks here in the fellowship, Lord, with a good night's sleep or a good day of work or whatever they're doing, in Jesus' name. A good day with their family. And we praise you, Father, for that, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, all right. Y'all be blessed, you hear?